You will hear part of a talk about shopping centres. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part 2.
My name, as you probably know, is David Peake. I act as a consultant to the developers of shopping centres, advising their architects and designers on what makes customers switch their loyalties from an existing store and travel sometimes relatively long distances to a new one. It's rather a fancy term, but I'm what is known as a consumer behaviourist. Now, there are two fundamental questions when it comes to building a shopping centre. First, is the money there? And second, how do we get it as opposed to somebody else? The answer is to make people feel comfortable and enthusiastic about the proposition. Increasingly, as shoppers become more discerning and competition increases, this means focusing on things such as safety, air quality, light, and choice of materials, what I call total sensory design, as well as perennially important things such as value and service. I've identified 12 key stages the shopper goes through from leaving the comfort of the couch to returning home, which need to be de-stressed. I begin my work miles away from the site, since research indicates that problems getting to a shopping centre make people regard the whole experience as negative. Too many roundabouts on the drive there are, I've found, stressful for women. They also don't like litter in the surrounding areas. Research has also indicated that people want 25% more space around their cars in the car park to manoeuvre pushchairs and trolleys. In terms of the materials used within a shopping centre, the flooring materials are especially important. Shiny surfaces are out because they can be slippery and make people afraid of falling. I've found that people inevitably gravitate towards natural materials. They may admire plastic and steel for their design qualities, but they develop relationships with stone and wood. They're much more expensive, but I'm convinced that they make people think of a location with them as superior. Now, what if people just feel that a place is not for them? What if the pensioners hate the designer clothes and loud music designed for people in their 20s? Well, I've thought of this problem, of course. In my view, people like to shop with like-minded people, what I call people like us, or PLUs for short. So in the latest shopping centre I've been involved with, shops are grouped in what I refer to as PLU clusters, so that people likely to be drawn to one sort of shop will not feel threatened by people drawn to another. Thus, the centre has the exclusive mall and the discount mall, and shoppers visiting one of them need never meet shoppers going to the other. My research has identified 6 consumer types. For example, there are those who respond to understated presentation, which enables them to pride themselves on their shrewdness. These I call county classics. Pensioners and people who have stopped competing in their careers fall into another category, home comfortables. Then there are people who look out for some code which tells them a place is for them and not for others. I call them club executives. They want comfort and value, not aesthetics. Another category covers people who don't have huge spending power, but always think they're going to find a bargain, the budget optimists. Then there are what I call young fashionables, who lack analytical skills, but know what they want when they see it and go for it voraciously. And finally, there are couples, just married, with one income and just about getting by, who I call young survivors. People sometimes ask me if I ever feel guilty about making people spend money they don't want to spend. What I say is that I have a strong aversion to conning people. I believe that to earn money in the retail business, you must give outstanding value. Now, that brings me on to my next point, which concerns the general fiscal policy.
Now you'll hear part 2 again.
My My name, as you probably know, is David Peak. I act as a consultant to the developers of shopping centres, advising their architects and designers on what makes customers switch their loyalties from an existing store and travel sometimes relatively long distances to a new one. It's rather a fancy term, but I'm what is known as a consumer behaviourist. Now, there are two fundamental questions when it comes to building a shopping centre. First, is the money there? And second, how do we get it as opposed to somebody else? The answer is to make people feel comfortable and enthusiastic about the proposition. Increasingly, as shoppers become more discerning and competition increases, this means focusing on things such as safety, air quality, light, and choice of materials, what I call total sensory design, as well as perennially important things such as value and service. I've identified 12 key stages the shopper goes through from leaving the comfort of the couch to returning home, which need to be de-stressed. I begin my work miles away from the site, since research indicates that problems getting to a shopping centre make people regard the whole experience as negative. Too many roundabouts on the drive there are, I've found, stressful for women. They also don't like litter in the surrounding areas. Research has also indicated that people want 25% more space around their cars in the car park to manoeuvre pushchairs and trolleys. In terms of the materials used within a shopping centre, the flooring materials are especially important. Shiny surfaces are out because they can be slippery and make people afraid of falling. I've found that people inevitably gravitate towards natural materials. They may admire plastic and steel for their design qualities, but they develop relationships with stone and wood. They're much more expensive, but I'm convinced that they make people think of a location with them as superior. Now, what if people just feel that a place is not for them? What if the pensioners hate the designer clothes and loud music designed for people in their 20s? Well, I've thought of this problem, of course. In my view, people like to shop with like-minded people, what I call people like us, or PLUs for short. So in the latest shopping centre I've been involved with, shops are grouped in what I refer to as PLU clusters, so that people likely to be drawn to one sort of shop will not feel threatened by people drawn to another. Thus, the centre has the exclusive mall and the discount mall, and shoppers visiting one of them need never meet shoppers going to the other. My research has identified 6 consumer types. For example, there are those who respond to understated presentation, which enables them to pride themselves on their shrewdness. These I call county classics. Pensioners and people who have stopped competing in their careers fall into another category, home comfortables. Then there are people who look out for some code which tells them a place is for them and not for others. I call them club executives. They want comfort and value, not aesthetics. Another category covers people who don't have huge spending power, but always think they're going to find a bargain, the budget optimists. Then there are what I call young fashionables, who lack analytical skills, but know what they want when they see it and go for it voraciously. And finally, there are couples, just married, with one income and just about getting by, who I call young survivors. People sometimes ask me if I ever feel guilty about making people spend money they don't want to spend. What I say is that I have a strong aversion to conning people. I believe that to earn money in the retail business, you must give outstanding value. Now, that brings me on to my next point, which concerns the general fiscal policy.
That's the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.